This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right, go. Good afternoon and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive kicking off here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. It is a T-Fair Tuesday. We are live this afternoon at Craven Wings in Choteau, South North Shore Drive. You want to come on out and see us this afternoon. Sorry, folks. I'm a little bit jumbled. I just polished off some chicken fingers down here, Bear. The best chicken fingers I've ever had in my life. And I've been dipping them in the Jacob Warren 87 sauce, which is a little spicy. It's a little spicy. And it's been phenomenal, man. It is fantastic. Bear, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Russ. A little jealous. Was hoping to be at Craven Wings today. Crushing some Parmesan garlic wings with you and T, but I'll get down there next time.
All right. Terry Fair will be here. Terry Fair is not here. He will be there in an hour, 4 to 6. He's going to do 2 hours with us today. You're welcome.
Terry Fair is there.
Double your pleasure. Double your fun. Jake Miller's back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Living the dream, Russ. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. Doing absolutely fantastic, man. Out here Craven Wings on North Shore in beautiful Choteau. It's a beautiful day, man. It was so cold this morning. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm going to have to bring a sweater. It's going to be freezing out here. And it's 70 degrees, a slight breeze. I mean, it's perfect. I'm out on the patio. Y'all want to come chill with me? I understand if you don't, you want to wait for Terry to get here at 4 p.m. Like, I get it. But I'll be here. I'm here. You want to come out and hang on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon in East Tennessee. Bear, you missed yesterday. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on the game. I guess I've already heard them. We did voluntary reaction together. But now that, you know, it's always different. Voluntary reaction versus I have a day or two to sleep, think about it, ponder it. Get some perspective. That's always fun.
But I'm even more red about it now than I was on Saturday night.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. First, how about my Titans last night taking down the Buffalo Bills on a weeknight game for the second year in a row? Nobody thought we could do it, Bear. Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, you got Derrick Henry.
The boys getting it done. And the defense stepping up, too. A Titans defense that is now decimated. We'll see what happens going forward. We got the Chiefs coming to Nashville on Sunday. Chiefs opening up as a 5.5-point favorite. What do you think of the Chiefs, Bear? You think they're pretty good?
I think that they're not as good as they have been the past couple of years, although they do seem to be getting it together a little bit. The best team in the league to me looks like Arizona. Whatever happened with Taylor Lewan last night? They took him off. I did see that. Didn't they take him off completely?
Yeah, I think he got a little concussion.
Immobilized.
Yeah, I think he got a concussion. I think he's all right. But, I mean, that's Taylor Lewan, man. I mean, it's just
for one such thing after another with that guy.
A talented guy. And, I mean, like, I hope he's okay. It's a scary scene. But he's cleaning up a pile. It's just completely unnecessary. And I'm glad he's okay. But, I mean, he would be one of the dominant offensive linemen in the league with the chance to be one of the best Titans of all time if he just wouldn't do things like that.
Dumb stuff.
Yeah.
So you think so? I've never been that enthralled with him.
You know, there's a reason they gave him all that money, man. I mean, he's pretty good. Guys that big that can move like that don't grow on trees. But again, it's what's between the ears, which has held him back going back to his time at Michigan. You know, when he got in that fight off the field, and it's a shame, man. But it's going to be fun to see. Quick stat, and then we'll move on and get back to the Vols here. The Titans averaging 2 points per game more than the Chiefs this year through the first 6 weeks of the season. 32 points a game for the Titans, only 30 a game for the vaunted Chiefs offense. We'll see losing our top two corners now. Caleb Farley out for the year with a torn ACL. I mean,
oof.
Yeah. Yeah. And Christian Fulton.
That's not good.
So you got your top two corners out with Patrick Mahomes coming to town. That could get a little bit dicey. All right, Bear. We did not have a chance to do this yesterday just because the by far the most phone activity we've had in months and months and months, probably since the Pruitt firing and the coaching search and all that.
Yeah, I did get to listen to parts of the show yesterday. Just could not join you guys, unfortunately, and was really enthused about how many callers, the caller volume you guys had yesterday. So, which I could get on there.
So we did not get to do the five things I want to see review. Bang through this real quick.
All right.
Number one, 60 minutes of aggression.
No.
And Jake Miller, you jump in here and let me know too. Do we see 60 minutes of aggression? Full football game from Tennessee?
I think you saw about 59 minutes and 57 seconds of it.
Oh, I didn't think we saw that much, boys. I don't think so.
I thought the player aggression, the attitude was fine, but obviously there were miscues and whatever. Number two, and I mean, corral.
Yeah, no.
Obviously did not do that. Number three, cleanup special teams.
No.
Nope. Our special teams are kind of a low-key disaster right now, guys. I mean, I don't want to be too alarmist about it, but you fumble a punt return, you miss a field goal. I mean, this is
now wait a minute now.
Some sort of catastrophic special teams failure.
Now wait a minute. I will have to say that they did Valus Jones, even though he did muff the punt and give him the touchdown. His punt return at the end of the game gave us a shot to win it at the end. Would you not agree?
I mean, that's so it's a wash at best.
Holiday had a good punt return. Yeah, it's just the missed field goal, and I'd just call it a wash.
You're being more generous than I would. Number four, crunch time poise. I mean, Joe Milton pretty much threw that one out the window all by himself on the last play, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that's the least amount of crunch time poise you could possibly exhibit, which is a shame because I thought for the most part, you know, things were going well with the game on the line. Hooker probably wishes he had the two, you know, the first and long, second and long plays back before the Warren completion. So I'd have to give him a big no on that. And then number five, this is the one that I think we would all agree is, for better or worse, the Kneeland effect. Yes, it was definitely there.
Yeah. I mean, we did hold. I mean, we had them rocking and rolling, and then I guess, according to Heupel, you know, they were going to do defensively. If Ole Miss was going to beat us, they were going to make Corral beat us with his legs, and unfortunately for us, he was able to do that.
Yeah. So we'll give them one out of four, or one out of five there for the five things I want to see. And usually that'll get you beat. Coming up, we're going to turn our attention to Alabama. What should the approach be this week for Josh Heupel and all the banged up Vols as they get ready to play Alabama, knowing that you have an off week the next week before a what I think is a highly winnable game against Kentucky? We're going to break that down live this afternoon at Craven Wings in Choto. Russell Smith cruising along with you. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio, and we're back with more right after this. Russell, Bear, and Jake back with you. I'm live this afternoon at Craven Wings in Choto, folks. Check this out. Monday through Thursday, kids eat free at the Craven Wings Choto location only. So you bring your kids out here Monday through Thursday, and they will eat free 10 and under Monday through Thursday right here at Craven Wings in Choto. So come on out and check that out. They've got 26 flat screen TVs, 3 oversized wall screens. They've got the, you know, where they do take like 4 TVs and make one big TV. They've got several of those out here. And the chicken, as always, is absolutely fantastic. Always fresh, never frozen. I just tried the chicken fingers. I've tried several different kinds of wings out here, and it is all fantastic at Craven Wings. So come on out and get you some. Tell them you heard about it right here on Fan Run Radio. Don't forget about the Wednesday Wing Ding, 79-cent wings every Wednesday from 4 p.m. to close. And that's at both locations of Craven Wings. They got one in Seymour on Chapman Highway as well. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. If you want to jump in this afternoon, as we talk Tennessee football this afternoon, we'll do a quick Rocky Top report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Guys, how do you approach this week if you're Josh Heupel with all the injured players? I think we all agree that Hendon Hooker, even though it appears that thankfully his injury is not season-ending, I think we all agree, is just judging by the way he went off the other night, it would be stunning if he were able to play this week.
Oh, I'd keep all the guys, anybody that's got questionable at all, anybody that's been dinged up, I would treat this week like the first of a bye week. Just go down there, try and shorten the game, get in and out without getting anybody else hurt. But anybody that we need the rest of the way, that's in any way dinged up or needs rest, I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't put Cooper out there. I wouldn't put Hendon out there. If they ever said anything, Russell, about what's going on with Cade?
No, I mean, it looked like an ankle to me. I guess we just have sprained ankles, contagious over there. I don't know that for sure, but I mean, that's just what, in my completely unprofessional opinion, Dr. it looked Smith. Like. But what about yeah, I mean, I would be stunned if Hooker or Cade are available. And the thing with Cade that you don't have the others is this season, clearly, there's no championship to play for. He has an NFL future to think about that's immediate, unlike Tyon and Hooker, who could play themselves into the NFL. But those guys need to play, right? They need to show things off. Cade Mays, and I'm not saying he would shut it down. I don't think he's wired that way. But I also don't think he's going to rush back and come out there playing on 1.5 legs. I think he's going to wait. Hope they have him back for Kentucky, because that's a very winnable game. Let's talk about Tyon for a minute. I got there early as watching him go through pregame warmups. I thought he was going to play because he's out there bouncing around and looking fine now. He's not cutting and he's obviously not being tackled, but he looked very good. If Jabari Small is banged up, Tyon's banged up, it looks like Jalen Wright is struggling with a bit of turf toe, which is a very difficult injury to overcome. Lenneth Whitehead continues to be banged up. I mean, you're going down to play Alabama, guys. What I mean, are you willing to take any chances with Tyon?
No. See, roll with Pierce and D Beckwith.
Oh man. Hey, I guess if Milton's the QB, you change up your game plan a little bit and go in and just let him spray it all over the place and hope you hit on a few, right?
Yeah, just let the chopper spray. Just let the wide receivers run. I mean, hell, we've been running wide open all year long, no matter who we played. I mean, just see if Overthrow Joe can connect on some of them.
But we've been very 50-50 in terms of a run-pass split, probably veering even, you know, 60-40 run, 60% run. I could see them maybe trying to switch it up a little bit if it's Milton, and obviously I would assume he would carry the ball some too. And here's the other thing, man, you're playing Alabama. Milton's already been this season.
Yeah.
He's hurt. I mean, Harrison Bailey needs to be ready to play.
Yeah, but it's not the Alabama that me and you certainly grew up knowing, and even as recent as, you know, 10 years ago. I hate to jinx this, but I mean, I've watched them all year. They aren't the same kind of, they aren't a physical defense in any way, shape, or form like Georgia.
Well, nobody is on that level, but Alabama is 17th in the country in total defense. They're still very good.
I mean, they're stout, but they aren't just absolutely crushing people. They're really good tackle. They seem to tackle really well in space. The thing that worries me the most is Ollie Lane or Dane Davis going up against that 6'7". Is it Alex Richardson? Is that the kid's name from Bama? The D tackle.
They're very dominant. I mean, I worry about Will Anderson lining up over Dane Davis. I mean, those guys are they are fast, physical, aggressive, and they've got a bunch of those, you know, Tarzan
freak athletes
on the defensive line. But I mean, they're obviously not producing at the level that is their standard, but they're still very good. I think it'll be interesting to see the approach Josh Heupel takes. I mean, I know you said, and heck, I think I said it too. We've all thought it. Take the air, slow it down a little bit, you know, just try and get out of there. I don't think Josh Heupel's wired that way. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, no, he'll have Milton going fast. I mean, and they want to run it up on us. Make no mistake about that.
Yeah. So it'll be. I'd love to get Terry's thoughts on this too when he gets in here in about half an hour. But that will be an interesting situation to watch, folks. Your Rocky Top Report. By the way, Alabama holding at a 27.5-point favorite, according to FanDuel. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. You've got any real estate questions, selling a home, buying a home, buying some land, Bo Kregner is the expert you need in your corner when you are making such an important transaction. There's a lot that goes on in the real estate, and property values are hard to correctly diagnose right now. It's all over the place out there. Luckily for you, you've got somebody who knows how much you can reasonably expect to get, exactly where to list your home. The price point is key right now. Bo Kregner's the best in the business. Give him a call, folks. 865-742-1035. Won't cost you a dime for a free consultation with Bo. 865-742-1035. Visit him online at boknowshouses.com. That's Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. 865-546-8200. If you want to hop on the G3 Help Me hotlines this afternoon, 546-8200. Jake, what do you think? The approach against Alabama should be what this week from Josh Heupel?
Very similar to what you guys just stated. You know, if you've got anybody that you're in doubt, you know, that has injury problems, you rest them. You give them an extra week of rest because, like you said, Kentucky's a very winnable game. And really, we just need to make sure those guys are healthy for that game. That way we can go into Kentucky and win and get, you know, the fifth win on the season. Hopefully, you know, finish out the season 7-5.
Barry, do you think how would you characterize Tennessee's chances against Kentucky at this point?
I mean, it all just depends on how healthy we are. I think if we can, if we go back, you know, if we get, what do we get? Because our open date's next week, correct?
Yes.
So that gives us what some of these guys have, you know, surely to God, Cooper will be ready to go. Might get Cade back
before that game from today.
Yeah, we get Tyon back, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have Hendon back. I think it'll be real similar to the Ole Miss game. It'll be a matter of whether or not we could tackle the quarterback.
I think it's going to be interesting to see just how fast they go this week against Alabama, and you know, if the game were to get out of hand, does that change things at all for the approach in game? We'll see. Josh Heupel, like I said, you know, he's a fierce competitor, and I have no doubt he's going to go in there playing fast, regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who the running backs and offensive linemen are. I think he's going to go in there and try to run his offense, and we'll see how it works out for him. But Joe Milton's going to have to kick things up a notch if he's going to be successful. Stay with us. The Drive continues live this afternoon from Craven Wings, South North Shore Drive in Chodo. We're back with more right after this. Back here on Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's grab a call from Trey. Good afternoon, Trey. You're on the show.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me all right?
We got you loud and clear, brother. Go ahead.
Perfect, perfect. So I didn't get a call. I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday. So I want to, you know, rehash a little bit of the Ole Miss stuff, but I also want to give a big shout out. I hate, you know, state run media over there. But Brian Rice, I don't know if y'all saw that. He went in on Pat Forty.
Yes, he did.
And they gave him, man, that was, they bashed him for it, but by God, I love his heart, and I love, you know, I love the fight in that guy. That was awesome to see.
It's about time somebody over there stood up for the fans. I love Brian, man. I thought I was proud of him. That was kind of a, dare I say, fan run move of him.
It was. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I mean, it was awesome. I expect that stuff out of you guys. You know, y'all are the one, you know, calling for it to be borderline dangerous, and my God, did that happen? So it was, you know, but to see that on a state run, man, I think this fan base is just so tired of being crapped on. And here's where I'm at with this. Like, let's be the bad guys. Let's be the villains. Let's embrace that role. Like, let's get good with Heupel, and then let's let, you know, Pat Forty and Dan Wolken and all the other names on the list come here. And when they want a press pass, you know, sit them in the student section or sit them in the south end zone. Like, that's what I want to be. I just, you know, why do we waste our time caring what these people think anymore? Let's get good, and let's be the bad guys at college football, and let's embrace the hate.
Here's the interesting thing about that, Trey, is that's what Ole Miss is doing. I mean, they're embracing the heel. All the 40s and the Wilkins, all those folks who are so blinded by their hatred for Tennessee and their fans are too dumb to see what's obvious right in front of them, is that Ole Miss is, we all saw Lane Kiffin and his language after the game, and we all saw what he did during the game and the way he made a mockery of injury rules in that game. And yet the story coming out of it is a few hundred drunken, mostly students, mostly young people who can't handle their booze, showing their rear ends Saturday night. Our team shows heart. We haven't had any off the field incidents in a long time, knock on wood. And our coach does things the right way. He said everything, he handled everything correctly after the game and yesterday at his press conference. By the way, I realize I'm not over there, and the writers would probably say, well, if you got a problem with it, come over and ask questions. I can't believe that he did that entire Monday press conference yesterday. I went back and listened, nobody asked him for his thoughts on faking injuries, which in my mind is the dominant football issue coming out of the game. I realize the dominant narrative is going to be what some Tennessee fans did at the end and the conference's response and all that stuff. But the way Kiffin made a mockery of the rules, nobody asked him about it. Something's going to have to be done about that. This is a huge issue in football all of a sudden, because now that that blueprint is out, it clearly had an impact on the game. I don't think Ole Miss wins if they play straight up and honorably. And now other teams are going to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama does it this week. So something's going to have to be done about that, and nobody's talking about it because all anybody wants to talk about are a couple of bottles that got thrown and, you know, cheerleaders got doinked on the head with a, like, I'm glad nobody's heard, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but the pearl clutching as opposed to analyzing what actually happened in the game is the discrepancy there is startling.
I completely agree with you, Russell, and to put the conspiracy theory hat on, the SEC has scrubbed the, speaking of, you know, problems of the game, officiating is a huge one. They've scrubbed the strip sack, fumble recovery and touchdown from the replay. Like when you go to watch it.
You're the second person who told me that. That's awesome. I love that. Let's pretend it didn't happen. I mean, what is this? The Iraqi Ministry of Intelligence? Like, we're just going to pretend it didn't happen? Just ignore it? You did not see what you saw.
Yeah, that's just insane right there. And then I guess another point too. You know, with Hooker out, the Bailey boys are coming back out. And let me tell you something. Like, I don't think Bailey's going to be a quarterback here. That's just my thoughts on him. But if you care about that kid and, you know, you think he has a bright future, Milton. Joe Milton deserves to play against Alabama with our offensive line Saturday. After what he did, I think he deserves that start. And that's just
like
my
standpoint.
Like,
as a punishment?
Yes. He earned a start, baby. You put him up against that Alabama defense with our, you know, bandaged together offensive line, and he's either going to, you know, learn what it's like to take a hit or, you know, get off the field. I think he needs that. So, anyway,
yeah,
boys.
He's got his work cut out for him this week, obviously, if he's going to be the guy.
Well, I'm going to see you guys here in a few minutes. I'm heading to Craven right now. See you guys, and I live right down the road from it. So, you know, I took off work early to come out there and see the boys. So, y'all hang in there, and thank you for hosting the best radio show in East Tennessee.
Oh, thank you, Trey. We appreciate it. The check is in the mail, brother. Excellent phone call from Trey. If you want to follow up, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. All callers and all guests appear on Fan Run Radio via the magic of the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Unbelievable. Great phone call from Trey this afternoon. We're live today at Craven Wings. Terry Fair is here. Trunks open, T. Guys, they got to do something about this flopping situation, and we'll get Terry's thoughts on it coming up here in just a moment. But I thought that the way the game played out the other night, it was so egregious that there's going to have to be something done about it. And now I just feel like the issue is kind of put on the back burner. I hope it comes back. I did hear Greg Sankey was on Chris Lowe's show over there on State Run Sunday night, and they asked him about it, and he said, you know, he kind of paid it lip service and said, yeah, you know, he wants to see something done about it and all this, but it didn't sound like there was any sense of urgency there.
And there needs to be.
I wouldn't hold my breath for any change. You know, you wish you could do it in the middle of the year, but I think it's going to be after the year before anything's done about it. And I don't know, Jake, do you think that other schools will employ similar methods?
Absolutely. And it's not just against Tennessee they're going to employ it against. It's anyone that sees a high-paced, fast-tempo, high-octane offense. When they see that coming, you know, expect it because it's going to happen.
And it's interesting. Football people will tell you that it's not necessarily to prevent being tired. You're out there on the field. It's going fast. You get tired. That's an issue. But the main issue is the substituting. That's why they go fast. Is, you know, Heupel's, he's going. You can't sub, and he's analyzing, you know, what kind of look you're giving, and he's setting up his play, and he knows what he's going to dial up on third down. And now all of a sudden you flop, and they can come out in a sub package, and you know, it's not just the injured player they're subbing for. They're switching up their D line, they're switching up their linebackers, and coming out in a completely different look. And you know, either they have to change. Either they have to change the rule, or Tennessee has to change their offense, because, you know, what's the point of playing fast if that element is missing from it?
Well, the latter of the two that you just said is not going to happen.
Changing the offense?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, we're just going to play football like you saw it Saturday night then.
I mean, it is what it is.
I don't think they can accept that. I mean, I think something's going to have to be done about it. Quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, live this afternoon at Craven Wings in Choto. Back with more of your phone calls coming up. Your Drive Fan Run Radio live this afternoon at Craven Wings. Cruising right along with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Terry Fair coming up here in about 15 minutes. Live here at Craven Wings. You want to come out and see us? We'll be here till 6 p.m. doing the thing. By the way, Craven Wings, we told you about Kids Eat Free here at the Choto location Monday through Thursdays. They're also at the Vol Village every home game down there. So the next time you're out there, I guess it'll be a George game. Swing by Vol Village, look for Craven Wings. Tell them you heard about it right here on Fan Run Radio. Back to the phones. John Tweet is up next. What's up, Tweet?
Hello, sir.
I'm sorry?
Hello, sir.
Hey, hello. How you doing? Sorry, we got the sirens going by and everything. It's a hive of activity out here at Craven Wings.
It seems like they finally have a somewhat competent staff over there that is taking, I guess, what talent they have and playing better than what they've assembled, as opposed to the last ones, which have moved in the opposite direction, coached the talent down, you know, took elite talent, or I don't know if elite, but better, and made it worse. So at least you have something there in the right direction. I would assume if he can get players in here, he's going to be just fine. I don't know if he'll win you a natty, but he'll do enough, certainly, to stay for a while.
Well, and to your point, I think that, you know, he's doing more with less right now.
Correct.
That's what I mean. You look at last year's offense with Eric Gray and Wanye Morris, and granted, they didn't have good quarterback play, but whose fault is that, I would say? That offense averaging 20 points a game, right? One of the worst offenses in football. Now you've got arguably less talent. Certainly on the offensive line, you've got less talent. I don't think the running backs are, you know, that might be a wash with Tyon and Small compared to Chandler and Eric Gray. Receivers probably a wash. And yet you're averaging over 40 points a game. You've almost doubled your offensive production. So this guy's ability to come in here and just, you know, hit the ground running is pretty impressive. And as you say, once he gets – more weapons in here, and these guys get more comfortable in the system. And that's just something I like. It's like Bruce Pearl did when he first got here, tweet where it's like, listen, I'm not waiting until I get my guys in here. These are my players. I'm going to coach them up, and we're going to do the best we can to go win games right now.
I think that O-line takes a step back next year unless he gets some transfers. I mean, you would be losing both Mays boys, or one of them. The other one's gone too, the guy, the holdover. I think he's kind of benefiting from some of Pruitt's OL acquisitions. I mean, I don't know what to do, and I don't pay attention. You remember how Butch benefited from Dooley's first year OL? Because when he came in, he had all those guys that were still left from Dooley's team. He had a couple offensive NFL offensive linemen on that team. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not benefiting from the same.
He lost Wanya Morris and Johnson, the left tackle.
Jameer,
yeah, he lost those two. You'll lose Cade after this season. I think Darnell Wright will be back, unless he's an NFL prospect all of a sudden, which I don't think he's played that well. I think he's probably back for year four at left tackle.
Okay.
Cooper Mays will be back. You could get Carvin back as a COVID senior, so that would be a huge pickup. Spraggins is back. So really, you could be in a situation where the only position you have to replace is right tackle, and maybe you develop one of the guys you've got on your roster. Maybe you go out there and pluck a transfer from somewhere. So I don't share your pessimism on the offensive line.
I remember Butch's first year that, he benefited from a really talented, and I don't know what's coming in. So hopefully, again, my only thing with them, I can't criticize this coach. I mean, they've done better than what I would expect. And again, they've coached the talent up far more than that. Speaking of a walking, breathing brain donor, if there is such a thing, there are people that are attempting to start a GoFundMe to pay the fine for this administration.
I love the fan base. I love Vault Twitter. It's awesome.
I mean, just stupid. All time stupid. Is this not the same administration that basically took their own football program and offered it up to the NCAA on a platter and said, come on in, to avoid paying, what is Pruitt's buyout? $8-9 million?
I think it's 12, but what's 12. A few million dollars amongst friends, right?
I mean, I guess in the end, what would have cost more, that $12 million or what you've done to, there's no telling when this NCAA stuff will drop, and when it does, what it will be. The only thing I think they have going for them is that what they did at the time is now totally acceptable. So maybe the NCAA will say, but I don't know why you would pay put a GoFundMe together to pay a fine for these people when they're the ones that caused it all in the first place.
Well, I would tell those folks that the money that's going to be used to pay that fine comes from you anyway. Guess what? It comes from the money you pay for tickets. It comes from your cable bill. It comes from the merchandise you buy over there. You're already paying that bill. If you want to pay more, I'm sure they would be glad to take your money, but you're already footing the cost of it.
It's similar to the people that vote for higher taxes. I just kind of look at them and I said, if you want to donate more money to the government, they'll take it. All you have to do is tell them, hey, I got some money for you. I promise you that they'll find a way to take it. Anyways, y'all be good, boys. Have a good show.
Thank you, John. You're getting political there. You got to go. I'm sorry. We got to move on. Don't want to be divisive. Oh, boy. Jake Miller taking us to the Fan Run breaking news desk. This is potentially big. According to Trey Wallace of OutKick, Hendon Hooker was on the practice field today, moving around a bit.
All right.
How does that strike you, Jake Miller?
Ooh, that's a sigh of relief, man.
That's awesome, man. That at least tells you that it is not a ACL. I mean, I think we can go out on that limb, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's good. That's good news, man. So it doesn't mean he's going to play this week, but you got to think that's fantastic news for his prospects to play against Kentucky, which, I mean, it was all up in the air. So who knows, man? Maybe the worm is beginning to turn a little bit and looked like a season ender. Turns out not to be the case. Our Titans last night, Jake, getting the job done, Monday Night Football.
Our Titans!
How about that?
Man, that was awesome.
King Henry on his 80-yarder hit 21.8 miles per hour on the radar gun. It's the fastest a player has been timed in the NFL this year.
And people thought he'd be done this year. Thought he didn't have any juice left.
I mean, how do you be that big? How do you be that big? That's probably
how are you that big?
How are you that big? Take the punishment he takes in on a week, and it's not like he has a couple of games where he only gets 12 carries. He's over 20 carries every week. And still be able to move like that. It's like, it doesn't make sense, man. It boggles the mind. Then you got Tannehill, who's kind of turning it on. I mean, our receivers are all messed up. A.J. Brown finally gets going in the second half last night. Looks like Julio re-aggravated his hamstring. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina comes out with some huge catches in crunch time. Thought Cameron Batson was really good. That looked like a bad entry. I don't know what it is about the state of Tennessee, man, but the Titans and the Vols just cannot stay healthy, either team.
No.
It is beyond bizarre. Fan Run Radio live this afternoon at Craven Wings wants you to come on out and see us. Terry Fair is fired up, focused, and prepared. Ready to jump on with us here in just a matter of moments. Jake's got your top four at four coming up here in just a bit. And I want the full rundown, Jake. I know you've got basketball news. The SEC media released its all-SEC team today.
Yep.
And I want baseball news. My Bravos up 2-0. I'm ready to hurt. I'm ready to hurt. I've seen this movie before.
Don't do that to yourself.
I've seen it before, Jake. I know how this ends. Listen, man, I'm a Braves fan from way back in the day. Way back in the day. I'm talking worst to first in 91 with David Justice and Tommy Glavine. Before Maddox got there, okay? What do we win? 14 division championships in a row. One World Series title. Don't get me wrong. I cherish it. 1995, Marquise Grissom catching the final out. It's a beautiful thing. But not the kind of return. You talk about ROI, return on investment. They are doing really well, though, man. Those moves they made in the middle of the season to reshape their roster, paying dividends. So we'll get some baseball, we'll get some basketball, and a lot more American tackle football headed your way. Next hour, the drive continues right here, Fan Run Radio.